All right, a message on fasting. Is that what you've been looking forward to all year? But fasting is different than dieting, okay? There's a whole different mindset there. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Titled it Fasting to Finish. Fasting to Finish. And Jesus, this passage in chapter 6, starting with verse 1 and then going through 18, which we do today, 16 through 18. But he started this part of his sermon talking about our desires as Christian. What is our true desire? He talks about almsgiving, you know, helping others. And that should be our desire to do that. And then he moved into prayer and he moved into devotions. The way to pray, what not to do in prayer, what a prayer should look like, those kind of things. That we would be sensitive to what God is doing in our life. How we should approach the Father in prayer. And then he kind of wraps up this little part within the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. He wraps up this little part with these three verses on fasting. Scripture does not, I don't believe you can find it, I haven't found it anywhere, we're actually commanded to fast. But it's mentioned many times in Scripture, and a lot of times it's done right before something big. You know, a big decision to be made or a big battle or, you know, something like that, people will fast. In this passage, Jesus gives us some guidelines. But what I want to bring out of it is the deeper purpose. Excuse me. The deeper purpose for fasting. And as Christians, as ones that have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should be striving to be a follower of Christ. That should be our goal. You know, I want to be a follower of Christ. Where Christ leads, that's where I go. And so I've got three things, and you see it on your outline there. To follow Christ. Now, there's more to it than just this, but this is part of it. But if you want to follow Christ, you must guard your appetites. Guard your appetites. 16, just the first part of 16, he says, moreover, you know, he's talked about prayer. He's talked about helping people. He's talked about coming before the face of God. And then he says, on top of that, moreover, when you fast. Now, I just got through saying that we are not commanded to fast, but Jesus took it for granted that we would fast. He says, when you fast. When you do this. And we're going to get into why we ought to do it and the purpose for it. And part of it is, you know, number one, we need to guard our appetites. And, you know, we tend to, when we hear the word appetite, you know, you start thinking the Food Channel or something, right? And you see all this stuff. I tell you, a lot of that stuff on there does nothing for my appetite. But, you know, that's that highfalutin stuff they put on there, you know. They got raw meat on there, and they say, oh, it's cooked perfectly. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, but all that to say, that's not all. It does include food, but our appetite is many things. What do you have an appetite for that's of this world? Could be something like television, football, sports, the Olympics, the news. I mean, what's your appetite? You know, it's more than just food. Some people have an appetite for what? Alcohol? Drugs? gossip. I mean, we all got an appetite for something, and it's not just talking about food. And we need to guard those appetites because we are inclined. We gravitate to the world because we have a sin nature that likes those things. And there's things that we like that aren't the best for us. And we naturally, you know, we're physical beings. We do have a soul and a spirit. If you're saved, you have a spirit. Okay? Well, if you're not saved, you have a spirit, but it's dead. When you're born again, that's your spirit coming to life. Okay? So you have a soul and a spirit. But we're physical and we're bound by the physical at this point in our existence. And we are drawn to the physical. And fasting is a spiritual endeavor. It's about the spiritual. Fasting serves to bring the spiritual, the physical under the restraint of the spiritual. Let me say that again. Fasting serves to bring the physical under the restraint of the spiritual. Did I say it right? Gosh. I think my name is John talking about, what is that, faith and works or something there? Always gets it backwards. I'm getting it backwards. Fasting serves to bring the physical under the restraint of the spiritual. There we go. Finally said it clearly. Because you know what? We have an appetite for many things. We really do. Jesus told us we must deny worldly appetites that we have in order to follow Him. Look at the verse. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, if any person's going to follow Jesus, let him what? Deny himself. Deny himself. And take up his cross and follow Me. That cross was a method of execution. The disciples, the people that heard Him speak this, knew what He was talking about. You need to execute yourself. Not literally, but you know what? Worldly. Fleshly. The flesh needs to die. Our fleshly desires need to go. He says, deny himself, pick up that cross, and follow Me. Because whoever will save his life will lose it. What does that mean? Well, if you want to hang on to what your life is right now, the way your life, the appetites of this world, and all those things, you're going to lose abundant life. You're not going to have the abundant life that Jesus came to give to each and every one of us right now. Not just when we die and go to heaven. Yes, that's ultimate abundant life. But we were called to have abundant life right now. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, the door is open for you to have abundant life. Not just life, but life more abundantly. And part of that is losing the stuff that our life was made up of before. If you try to hang on to that, you're going to lose what God had for you. And He says, and then whoever will lose his life for My sake, Jesus' sake, you know, I don't give up stuff to make Me happy. I'm doing it because Jesus asked me to. That's the right reason. And that's what Christ is getting into in here. Because he's going to start talking about the hypocrites that make it look like they're all spiritual, but they're not. They're just trying to look good. And so He says, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. If you want to lose your life for Me, you will find abundant life. When you give up the stuff, that doesn't mean, as always, there's extremes. You know, sell everything, go live, and some people God calls to that. But not everybody. But the point being, are you hanging on to stuff that God would not rather you hang on to? Are you hanging on to things that get in the way of your spiritual relationship with the Lord? Those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. And He says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, that's not talking about salvation by works. It's talking about we're going to be rewarded after we're saved, because salvation's free. Okay? Cost Jesus everything, but it's free to us. And once you're saved, he expects us to allow his Spirit to work through us and accomplish something in this world. Something that impacts kingdom of God in some way, shape, or form. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. He's given you relationships to impact other people and for him, hopefully. And when all this is done, we will get a reward according to our works. And if we have good works, we're going to get good rewards. If we have bad works, we're going to have bad rewards. It has nothing to do with salvation. You're still going to be saved. Remember the guy in, I think it's Corinthians, and it says everything burned up. His works were tried, and yet everything was burned up, yet he himself was saved, the Bible says. But everything that he did was ashes, because none of it was spiritual. And that's what this is talking about. This passage is talking about we got to separate the spiritual from the carnal, the fleshly. Now, we live in the physical world. We need certain things. That's true. But it's the motive. It's the attitude. God's interested in attitude and motive. You can do one thing, and I can do the exact same thing. But if one of us has a wrong attitude, one of us has a right, even though we're doing the exact same thing, one is pleasing to God, the other is not pleasing to God. Because our attitude, our purpose, why are we doing it? If my life consists mainly of satisfying my appetites, there is a reward. If it consists mainly of denying myself and following Christ, there is also a reward. Something we need to think about. What kind of reward are we going to get? We'll get into that a little bit more. Because to follow Christ, you must not only guard your appetite, you need to guard your appearance. This is the rest of 16, all of 17, the first part of 18. He says, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. Think about it. You know, these guys would go on a fast and, you know, a couple weeks in and be like, you know, if I've been fasting for 3 weeks, I come to church. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong with you, brother? Like, well, I've been fasting. And I'm pretty weak right now. I'm having to hang on to the pulpit. But gosh, look how spiritual I am. That's what these guys were doing. Their faces were all down. You know, they're all weak. You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm just fasting for the Lord, brother. I'm spiritual. That's what they were doing. And he says, don't do that. Don't do that. Because why? They're appearing. We need to guard. Who are we appearing before? Who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to impress? Is it God or is it others? Oh, I just want all you to know how spiritual I am. So, don't look at me. Gosh. Brother, can you give me a crumb so I can get through this message? It's funny, isn't it? But that's what these guys were doing. And it was hypocrisy because they weren't getting more spiritual at all. There was no humility in their heart. They were trying to look humble. They were trying to look contrite. But it was only on the outside. It wasn't on the inside. Theirs was a mock fast. It actually mocked God. It was a show. It was a shadow. It had no substance. It had no power in their life. They weren't changed by it at all, except maybe they got more pride out of it. Look at this. Jesus said this in Matthew 15. You hypocrites, just like what he called them here, don't appear as the hypocrites do. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nearer to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, God's he's concerned with your heart. I mean, you can go without food. You know, some people have gone with it. You know, they go on a hunger fast and they just, you know, hunger strike. And they die. You think God's pleased with that? You know, it's a heart issue. It's why you're doing it. Why? That's what God... Everything that we do, God is concerned with the heart. The works may or may not work out. I've done things, you know, really in the Spirit, trying to do what's right, and I just totally failed. No, God didn't want it to work. How did I handle that? That's the question. You know, God allows us to fail. You understand that, right? Everything He calls you to do doesn't necessarily end up being successful in our eyes. Sometimes He calls us to fail so we can learn something. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what their reward was? From man. Everybody's going, oh, look at him. He's been fasting. Look how weak he is. Oh, my goodness. He's so spiritual. And that was their reward. That's all they were going to get out of that. There was no reward from God coming for them. Who would you rather be rewarded by, folks? Others or by God? Others or by God? You know, we need to guard our appearance. He says, you know, they have their reward, the ones that do it, you know, for show. But in 17, he says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head. In other words, clean up. And wash your face. That you will not appear to men to fast. In other words, you're going to walk in there, you might not have had food for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you just walk in, you do your thing. And no one would even know. Regardless of what you're fasting from. You know, I think a lot of Christians, they need to fast from the news. I'm telling you. I mean, honestly, you can watch the news every day. Is it not the same old, every day, and it just depresses you more every day, or it makes you mad every day, or, you know, gets you upset every day? And yeah, it may be some new thing, but it's still the same old thing. And then and we're all discouraged, and, you know, that, you understand that Satan separating you from God? Because you know what? You start dwelling on, oh, my rights are being taken away. And look, I'm not happy about the stuff that's going on. But can I do anything about it? Not really. I'll go cast my vote, you know. And if someone asks me my opinion, I'll tell them. But honestly, nothing much changes on my account. But you know what? I can control the... what I do with the circumstances and the situations I find myself in every day. Now, I'm going to serve God as long as I can. I mean, you know, I fully anticipate going to jail at some point. I really do. I really do. Either that or executed, one or the other. But because it's going down a road. It's going down a road. And, where's your faith? And when you watch the news and you see how bad everything is, or you see the lies, they talk about misinformation, my goodness. But you see all these lies, and all it does is depress you. What's up with that? Now, I'm not saying be ignorant, but you know what? I can watch the news for about 5 minutes once a week, and I know all I need to know. I don't need 30, 40, 50 minutes of it every day. Gosh. I mean, really? We need to fast because you know what? It's taking away our spirituality. It's causing us to get depressed. God's not a God of depression, folks. We have hope. We have hope that extends far beyond what government or whatever can do to us. We have hope beyond that. We're not of this world. All these songs we sing, this world is not my home. You need to start living them. You got to start living the things you've been saying and seeing and reading in the Word. You need to start putting it in your heart and saying, you know what? This world isn't my home. And possibly I'm not going to be happy here. Possibly I may be persecuted here. But you know what? My God is above all those things. My God is able. My God has a plan for me, even in the midst of this stuff. This is nothing like Rome. Go back when these words were written. This is nothing like Rome. I may get there. we may get there, but we're not there yet. And yet these people, Paul and Peter and the disciples and the 120 and on, the word spread. And Rome tried to trample out the church and they couldn't do it. Because why? Our God is able. They indeed have their reward, but us, we hold our head high. We're followers of Christ. We have a greater purpose. We have a greater future. He says that you will appear not to men to fast. Fasting is to be true followers of Christ will fast privately. Now, do we have sometimes like a corporate thing? I call on everyone, let's fast because we got this situation taking place in the church. And group fasts are okay, but you don't come to church, everybody going, how you doing, man? You just come to church, you worship, you praise, but you're fasting because you're trying to get close to God. You want direction. It's a spiritual act. It's between you and the Lord. The Lord working in you. Which means, leads us to the third. Need to guard your audience. I've already kind of crossed over into it, but the rest of 18, he says, you appear not unto men, but unto your Father, which is in secret. You fast in secret before the Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees you in secret, shall reward you openly. Shall reward you openly. Who are you fasting before? Who needs to know? Who are we doing this for? Look at this. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me." And here's the key part, for you savor not the things that are of God, but those that be of men. What do we savor? Things of this world or the things of God? What means a lot to us? Are we seeking the approval of men or the approval of God? Only the Father needs to know, and when we seek Him to be our audience, He sees our heart and He will reward us openly. He rewards openly. In other words, there's going to be a change in you that people are going to recognize. People are going to see. And they're going to say, wow, why aren't you? Know, look how crazy everything is. Why are you so upbeat? Well, now you get a chance to tell somebody about your God. And how my countenance is not directly related to what's going on in the world around me. Am I concerned with it? Do I need to deal with it? Yes, but you know what? My hope is not there. My hope is up there. That's where my faith is. That's where my hope is. That's where my desire is. That's what I value the most, even over my own life. It's either for God or for men. We have many appetites. Appetites for a lot of things. In this country, up until this point, we've had a lot of freedom. And some of that's going away. How are you dealing with that? How has it affected your countenance? How has it affected your witness? How has it affected your attitude and your heart? What does Job say? The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've had great freedom for 200 plus years in this nation. God is allowing it to be taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what we ought to be saying. How am I going to serve God in this new environment? It's what we ought to be saying, seeking Him. What's this going to look like? Now, I know this isn't that, you know, what do they call that? Prosperity sermon. You know? Oh, it's all going to be good. I wonder what the prosperity preachers are preaching right now. All your stuff's being taken away. Stuff was never yours to begin with. God allowed you to have it. He blessed you. You may continue to have it for a while. Maybe you're not going to have it after a while. I don't know. You say, well, that's not right. Well, a lot of things not been right since the beginning of the world. Not been right. Since Adam and Eve sinned. It hasn't been right, folks. But the title of this is Fasting to Finish. We've been going along so far in our lives, and I got a question for you. How are you finishing? How are you finishing? It is important to finish. And it is important to finish well. The purpose of fasting should be to get our eyes off the things of this world and our fleshly appetites so that we can focus solely upon God. You know, if you're fasting, you know, in other words, you don't take something away without putting something in its place. It is a recipe for disaster. But that's what we tend to do. So you've got to put something good in its place. And so when we get our eyes off our appetite, you know, the thing we have an appetite for. So in other words, let's say you are going to stop eating for a period of time. You know, God lays it on your heart. I'm going to fast for a week. So you don't, what do you do when the rest of your family or the other people or whatever are eating? What do you do? Do you just sit there and just, oh, boy, I wish I'd be glad when this week's over. You know, I'm going to kill that bowl of candy over there. I mean, that's my weakness, and you all know it. But, you know, but what are you thinking of? So when other people are eating, you know, and you don't sit there and watch the rest of your family, and you just sit there, you know. No, go in the other room, and if they take 30 minutes to eat dinner, then you take 30 minutes and get in the Word of God. The point of your fast is to get closer to God. That's why you're fasting. So whatever it is, you know, if you usually watch the news from 6 to 8 o'clock every night, and you want to stop that, go into your closet, go into your place where you study, go into the place where you get with the Word. Or if you've got a family bustling around, then get things set up so that you can have some privacy. So at some point, and you spend the same amount of time with God. In other words, you don't give up something without putting something in its place. And when you're fasting, what you're putting in its place is the Lord and His Word. And maybe seek Him in prayer. Lord, what are You trying to show me? What are You trying to tell me? Because He laid it on your heart for a reason. There's a purpose. You know, it's to get our eyes off these things. It's to get our eyes off ourself, actually. Because our appetites are what? Things we have an appetite for. Why? Because we like them. And so we sacrifice, we deny ourselves and put God in our place, in its place, in our heart, in our time, in our closet. And we go before Him and say, God, show me. God, help me. God, mold me. Focus on God. You don't just give up the news or give up the food. You, at the time those things are happening, that's when you focus on God. It is an act of self-denial under the hand of God. Remember the verse? If you want to follow me, you're going to what? Deny yourself. Self-denial. You choose. You decide. I'm going to do this. And it shows God, and it shows you, shows me. When I do it, I'm showing me that I'm serious. I'm serious about this. You know, I just don't give up eating for fun. Or whatever it is that you give up. It's not for fun. It means I'm serious about this, Lord. I'm getting down to brass tacks, and I want You to do something mighty in me. So as we're serious about our relationship with Him. Fasting is not so much a duty. And get this, it's not a duty. It's a means to prepare us for duty. You know, many times when you read, you know, what did Jesus do? He was the Spirit led Him out into the desert to what? Face the devil. And before He faced the devil, He fasted 40 days. Because you know what? He had a big battle ahead, and He had to be spiritually ready to face Satan. Now, you know, I hope I never do have to face Satan himself like Jesus did. But whatever I have to face in this world, I got to be ready. And so do you. You know, there's people caving into all sorts of stuff out there. Christians, churches, whole denominations caving. You know why? They're not ready for the battle. And they're just caving. We got to be ready for the battle. And fasting is part of what gets you ready for the battle. It's not the battle. It's not a duty. It gets you ready so that you're able to perform whatever it is God has called you to do. That's what it does. It empowers you. prepares us for duty. You want to finish well? You better be prepared to finish well. And how you do that is through fasting. Partly. I mean, there's other parts, but this is part. What did he say? When you fast. He's assuming you will. We're supposed to be like him. He did. We should. It is important for us to serve God, but it is also important to finish. And in order to finish well, we must learn self-denial and sacrifice. What are you willing to give up for God? That's a hard thing. Because we get used to our stuff. And we worked hard for our stuff. And there's nothing wrong with having stuff in of itself. But when hanging on to our stuff gets in the way of our serving the Lord, now we got a problem. What did Jesus say? You know, you can't serve God and money. You're going to hate one, love the other, despise one, cling to the other. And what's going on in our country is definitely causing a separation. Those that are clinging to the Lord and those that are clinging to their stuff. And that's really what's happening. Just look at it. We have to learn self-denial and sacrifice, and fasting gets you ready for that. You know, I've told you before in the past, I mean, before I became the pastor of this church, I was in Peru and God told me, quit your job. Because some of you don't know, but I had a real job for 34 years. I repaired air conditioners and refrigerators and that kind of thing. For 34 years, I did appliances of all kinds, working for a company. And I'm in Peru and God says, on a mission trip, because I served, you know, and I did things, I preached and all these things. But one day God says, I want you to give up your job. And I had, like, it was the first day I got to Peru, 10-day mission trip. First day I got there, first night, laying in the bed, just thinking, gathering my thoughts for the week ahead. And I get hit with, you need to quit your job. No explanation. No, you're going to be in a church. None of that. No guarantee of anything. Just basically, trust me. And I'm like all week, well, I can't do that. I'm not old enough to draw any social or, no, you know, I need insurance, blah, blah, blah. I had all these reasons, right? And all I got back was, you need to quit your job. So I had to make a decision, you know, self-denial. I could have kept working. Could have kept, you know, drawing the insurance and, you know, and all the stuff and whatever. And I, listen, I'm not boasting about that. I struggled with this. It was a hard decision. It was really like revealing to me how spiritual I really was. You know, thought I was pretty good for a while. They were, look at me, I'm in Peru, I'm witnessing to all these people, you're so spiritual. Oh, really? You think you're spiritual? Quit your job and just serve me. Right? Had to deny myself. Had to talk to my wife. But I'm just using my own illustration. But you know what? I'd like to say, oh yeah, I was fully confident the whole time. Are you kidding me? I did it, but man, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'd like to say I had a lot of faith about it, but not really. But Jesus said all you got to have is this much faith. And I had enough to quit. You know, that's about all I'll say for it. I had just enough to quit. But then he directed me here. I didn't even know this place existed. I didn't even know anything about it. But I ended up here. God had a plan. I look back, I can see it all now. But, you know, at the time, didn't see anything. Just said, okay. You know? But I want to finish well. And that's why I say, and I don't say it flippantly, I foresee maybe going to prison or something, but you know what? I want to finish well. And if that means go to prison, Paul went to prison. He was in prison, and he was killed, executed. All the way to the end, though, he believed. You know, I think about Lenore. All the way to the end, I'm visiting her, and I know she doesn't have much time. I mean, barring God literally touching her, I knew she had not much time left. And she just kept saying, God is good. God is faithful. I mean, she's in so much pain she can't talk. Hardly speak. Hardly make sense. Hallucinating sometimes. And yet constantly, God's good. God's faithful. And I'm just sitting there going, man, I hope I have that kind of faith. I mean, she taught me. I'm there to comfort her. She's giving me a lesson. You know, we got the Lord's Supper today. Talk about self-denial, self-sacrifice. What the Lord did for us. Wow. Now, if we're going to finish well, we got to learn to deny ourselves. We got to learn to sacrifice. Just let God have it. Fasting to finish. We must learn to allow the spiritual to govern the physical. We got to start looking, guys, we got to start looking at things through spiritual lenses. That is what fasting can accomplish in our lives. That's the purpose of it. It's to raise your level of spirituality. Not the, oh, I'm so spiritual. No, spirituality within. Where you're really focusing on God and the spiritual is affecting every area of your life. That is what fasting can accomplish in our lives. Look at this verse. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. This is Paul. He knows he's going to be executed. He knows. Shortly he's going to die. And he's writing a letter to his favorite disciple, Timothy. It was someone that he looked at Timothy as a son. It's like a father to a son. And these are his last words. And last words are important. That's what struck me with Lenore. Some of her last words were just praising God and saying, God is good. That was some of her last words. Last words are important. And he says, you know what? I have fought a good fight. It was a battle for Paul. Paul threw people into prison. Paul had people executed. He was trying to stamp out the gospel. And then God got a hold of him. And you know what? He began to finish. Well. You know, a lot of us, you know, there's not too many people that I've ever met that start well and finish well. Most of us kind of have a rocky start. I had a rock. I mean, 32 years before I got saved, and even then, you know, I was a work in progress and still am. Okay? I mean, you know, you never get there, you know? You never get there till you die. Then you get there. But it's a battle. You know, and Paul said, you know, he buffets himself daily and he does the things he shouldn't do and he doesn't do the things he should do. This is Paul. You know, what hope do I have? Paul couldn't do it. But it's just day by day, folks. That's why Jesus said each day, just take one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, don't worry about what law they might pass tomorrow. What are you doing today? And he fought the good fight. You know, a lot of us, we fight fights. I'm not so sure it's a good fight. Sometimes we fight against things that it seems like a big deal at the time, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's really not. I have finished the course. Man, that's what I want to be able to say. I mean, Paul's sitting there in jail writing his last letter, and this is chapter 4. This is the last little part of his letter to Timothy. And after that, we're not going to hear from Paul anymore because Paul's dead. And he says, you know what? I finished. That's all I want to say. Man, I just want to say, Lord, I finished the course. I stayed faithful to the end. I served all the way. I have kept the faith. And that is what really disappoints me in people that say there are people of faith, because they're not keeping the faith. I mean, they're bowing down to social this and that and the other. How about bowing down to this? How about saying, this is what I bow down to? This is what I follow, whether it's popular or not. I don't even get angry. I'm just disappointed. There's a lot of high profile is a better word, pastors and such that are like waffling on this stuff. And I don't get mad. I'm like, oh, I'm disappointed. I'm just disappointed. And you know what? When I waffle and because I don't have it all figured out. And sometimes I got to come to some conclusions too. But God's disappointed. Didn't I die for you? Didn't I do all these things in your life? I can look back and see God moving in my life. And so, you don't trust me now? I can just hear Him saying that. Disappointed. I like what God said to Jesus. He said, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I want to please. If I want to disappoint my Father, I want to please my Father. And how do you please Him? Keep the faith. What does Hebrews chapter 11 say? By faith you please God. I mean, it's the only way to please Him. He says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's the reward, remember? He says, they have their reward, but your Father, which sees in secret, He will reward you openly. There is a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And here's the good part, not to me only. It wasn't just for Paul, but unto all that love His appearing. All that love Him. What does that mean? Well, a lot of people jump right to the rapture. When the rapture comes, and you know what? It will. But when it does, what are you going to be doing when He appears? Can you imagine if you're in the middle of something that's totally like not scriptural or not? I'm not saying it has to be evil. I'm just saying, what if you're just doing something kind of empty? Something that doesn't have any impact. And bam, that's when you're caught up. It's like, oh. I mean, I really hope it happens when I'm in the pulpit. At least I can say, I was preaching the word, Lord. You know? I know I saw a video of this guy preaching on spiritual warfare, and he died. He dropped dead in the pulpit. Right when he finished. And you could see him. You could see him. He's sweating, and you know, I guess he was having a heart attack right then. But I don't know what it was. But he finished. When he said "Amen," he collapsed and was dead. What a way to go! You know? I mean, I know everybody wants to go in their sleep, but I mean, you know, cowards. But honestly, what a way to go, to be serving God and you know, whatever it might be. You know? Not everybody's a preacher, not everybody can die in the pulpit, but you know, maybe John wants to die playing the guitar. you know, just saw you walking up there, so you got my attention. That'll teach you. But whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, you know, I want to be doing it unto the Lord. But you know, many of us, maybe a lot of us, we may not get the rapture. You know, we may die, you know, in this life. You're still going to appear. You're going to be before your Maker. And you'll get that crown of righteousness because you love His appearing. You love it. You're looking forward to it. You're going, man, I'm doing all this because why? Because one day I'm going to see Jesus and it's going to be exciting. I'd rather be excited than ashamed. Put it that way. Oh, you know, oh, I was doing this. Think about Paul writing these words. See, you thought you were getting out here early today, didn't you? I was done. I was done on that last verse at 5 till. And everybody's going, it's going to be a world record. Yeah. 3 verses. How long can it take him, right? All right. 3 verses about fasting. Really? But think about this. Think about Paul writing these words. I fought the fight. I finished the course. I'm going to get a crown of righteousness. And think about Solomon. Did not finish well. Started off great. Young man, all of a sudden thrust into the kingdom. Thrust to be king. And he's so humble and he's scared. You know, and he prays to, you know, God says, hey, you know, I'll give you anything you want. And he's like, God, I cannot even total, I'm not even ready to do this. Give me wisdom so I can rule your people wisely. And God did. Wisest man that ever lived, but he never followed his own advice. Spoke many perfect, powerful words. We know they're perfect because they're in the Word. True words. And yet, you read Ecclesiastes and he talks about he denied himself nothing. He denied himself nothing. Everything he says, my eyes, I wanted this, I wanted, you know, women. Had what, 900? 1,000? Something like that. He had like 400 wives and 600 concubines or something like that, right? He denied himself literally nothing. All the palaces, the stables, talks about the horses that he had. I mean, what in the world are you going to do with like 1,000 horses? I mean, gosh, I've been around horses. We were on the ranch in New Mexico. That's a lot of work to have 2 or 3. I mean, fortunately, you're king, so you can have, you know, 1,000 people taking care of your 1,000 horses, you know. It's good for him. But Solomon did not finish well. He died like a bitter old man. Oh, it's all empty. It's all vanity. Man, I don't want to go out like that. I want to finish well. Solomon did not finish well. David did not finish well. But we can. All we got to do is deny ourselves. Follow Jesus. That's called finishing well, folks. You know, God doesn't make 13 hoops you got to jump through. It's just very simple. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You can't pick up your cross unless you deny yourself. Because you know what? We're busy carrying all the stuff of our life. So in order to pick up that cross, you got to put that stuff down and pick up the cross and follow Jesus. And if you do that, you'll please Him. He simply will. The result of that is pleasing Him. Jesus denied Himself and sacrificed for us. do we do the same for Him? I know I can't answer for you, but for me, not enough. I have denied myself in some areas and sacrificed, but you know what? Not enough. Not enough. Maybe someone here today, maybe you heard a whole bunch of stuff today and you're kind of trying to figure out what is all this about. If you've not accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, your eyes are basically all on the physical. Just on the stuff, on what this world does in your life. You need to see the spiritual. The Bible tells us that if we do not have Christ, we are not, as the Bible puts it, discerned spiritually. We're not spiritually discerned. If you don't have the Lord, you'll read these words and they won't make sense to you. Certain things will. Certain things make sense in of their own. But you cannot see the spiritual truth behind it, because you're spiritually blind. But what happens when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Your eyes are opened. You are now spiritually discerning. You can understand spiritual truth. But if you have never experienced that, I beg you, plead with you, swallow your pride. Pride is what keeps you from trusting God. Swallow your pride and just admit, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. I need Jesus. Really, it's as simple as that. It's admitting to God that you fall short. It's admitting to God you need Jesus. And it's acknowledging that Jesus paid the price you could never pay. He paid it for you, provided a way. And all you got to do is acknowledge it. You just acknowledge that Jesus did it and ask God to forgive you and save you. And you know what? He will. He absolutely will. For the rest of us, you know, we're about to have Lord's Supper. Perfect picture for this message, really. It's about Jesus' self-sacrifice, His giving it all. And the Bible teaches that even those of us that are His children, that if we don't have things right with Him, we ought not take this. So part of this invitation is about, you know what, if you just got something going on between you and God and God's brought it to your mind, just ask Him to forgive you. Tell Him you're going to make it right. Tell Him what you need to tell Him. I don't know what it is for you. And then worship Him through the Lord's Supper, because you know what? He forgave you when you asked Him. But for us, do you want to finish well? Are you finishing well? Ask God to reveal, am I finishing well for you, Lord? And you may be younger, you may be older. And you may be younger and say, well, I'm not finished yet. Well, you don't know that. None of us knows when that last day for us is. People die every day of all different ages. And when you die, that's when you're finished. And you may not have as much time as you think. I'm not trying to be, you know, depressing here, but we don't know. And so the time to start finishing well is now. Do you want to finish well? What appetites do you have that need to go? What's God revealing to you? How's your self-denial doing? You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's just an invitation. How many would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I recognize that. Maybe you've been in self-denial. Maybe you've been thinking you're okay, but maybe you've just realized today you're not. Will you take this time and just... slip your hand up and say, Brother Mike, I need prayer. I've got some doubts, or I need to come clean with God, and I recognize that. Anybody like that? Just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, God has reminded me of something that needs to go. I have an appetite for something that needs to go, and I need prayer about that. It's going to be hard for me. Anybody like that? Got to get rid of something. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I want to finish well, and I want prayer because I want to finish well. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord God, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see ourselves as you see us. And whatever it is about us, our desires, our whatever, Lord, that is not pleasing to you, Lord, I pray you'd make us aware of it. And then give us strength and courage to please you in handling it, whatever it may be, whatever form that may take. I pray for these that raised their hand that said, you know what, they want to finish well. They've got some things in their life that they need to get rid of, and Lord, they're asking you to do something. So, Father, I come to you on behalf of them, on behalf of me, myself. And, Lord, make us more like your Son. Help us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. That you would be pleased, that crown of righteousness could be earned, be a reward, because we were faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. You deal with God. God's dealing with you. You deal with Him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you just humbled by your presence here today. You are the great and powerful God. And you're so big, and yet you are so personal. And we thank you for that. Lord God, we ask you to move in our lives in a greater way, that the impact that we have in this world for you and your kingdom would be evidenced. People would know there is a God, and that He loves them and He cares for them. Father, help us to be about that. Help us to be about you. In Jesus' name, amen.